Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
Hey, welcome everybody. It is another great day to be talking politics over a cup of coffee. And boy, is there lots to talk about. Welcome, I'm your host, former state representative and fifth-generation Oregon farmer. Yeah, a hemp farmer, in addition to grass seed and other things. But, yep, in the last couple of days of hemp harvest, I hope and pray, believe me. Oh, Lordy. So what do you think the fallout from the failure of the Kate Brown recall is going to be? Now, there's reasons I'm putting that question forward because, you know, the Kate Brown recall had some positives, didn't it? I mean, some of you articulated that on this show, which is one of the great reasons I'm grateful that y'all listen. And speaking of listeners, our friend Art sent me he was up early today because I got an email from him earlier. It's White Cane Safety Day. That's right. If you're out and about and you see someone walking around with a white cane, it is likely a blind person. It's a reminder. Give them a little extra grace if you're driving around or whatever you're doing. White Cane Safety Day today. So there's some interesting things that I think are worthy of talking about with the two recall petitions that were not successful. What is the fallout from that going to be? Not only what is the fallout from it going to be, are there benefits to it that would be lasting in Oregon politics? Did it really send a message? I mean, that's one of the things that Bill Currier said, right? Now, a long time ago when this whole thing got started, I mean, a lot of us just sort of chuckled and laughed at it like, yeah, right. But if you think about it, you know, maybe a lot of people have had conversations with other people about why. Why would you want to recall Governor Kate Brown? I mean, she just won by beat Newt Bueller. And we talked a little bit about, you know, yesterday being Democrat light, right? Well, you know, Newt in many ways was Democrat light. I frankly still would have much rather have had him as governor any day than Kate. But having said that, you know, Kate beating Newt by, what, 130,000 votes or whatever it was, is old news. It's what she did during the campaign and what she has done since that time that has led to the recall effort. So, as Bill Currier said yesterday, did it send a message? Did it? Do you think that it'll make any difference? I'm curious. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line, 503-589-1220. And you can always send me an email to jeff@1220.am. Also, speaking of Kate Brown and her hypocrisy, saying, of course, that she was going to be the most transparent governor ever. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but that's kind of what she said. And she's been hit for it, as you know, by virtually every major newspaper in the state, their editorial boards, for being just the opposite. So guess what she did? There's a story in the Oregon Catalyst today about how Kate Brown, whose recall effort was at least in part inspired by her advocacy for cap and tax, you know, that brought to life a whole lot of people who realized their ox was going to be gored, like Timber Unity, right? A true grassroots movement. Well, Kate Brown is a bit of a hypocrite because she's advocating for cap and tax. And after its failure, she says she's going to implement it by executive order. Well, maybe, Kate, you ought to lead by example, because the Oregon Catalyst has a story about how Kate Brown takes a private jet from Salem to Sun River to give a few comments at some conference and then takes the private jet back to Salem. Now, why is that a problem? Well, because private jets burn a lot of carbon, a lot more than taking an SUV driving over there to Sun River and driving back. A lot more. So you got to lead by example, Kate. Is it more Kate Brown hypocrisy, or are we on the right just stinging from the failure of the two Kate Brown recall petitions? What do you think? 503-589-1220, 503-589-1220, and of course, emails again to Jeff at 1220.am. Let's go to the phones. We'll start with our friend Ron. Ron, what say you this fine morning?
Oh, I'm going to tell you, my brother, personally, I am not happy. I think I will give a shout out to all the volunteers of this throughout the state, throughout the counties. Give a big shout out to Linn County. They turned in at least 15,000 themselves. That's a heck of a percentage out of one county. Getting back to my Jezebelian retro Bolshevik and Marie Antoinette queen, she is not transparent. She is a tyrant. She is an oligarch. She is an Evita Perón-type Jezebel. She has no respect for anybody's liberties except her own. When she got to carry the Tom Steyers, the Bloombergs, which, you know, she got $50,000 this past quarter from him, and the Soroses of the world. She is a two-faced, hypocrite individual that does not care about liberties unless it benefits her. That's all she cares about, that song, Me, 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 Me. She does not, and she's going to jam Captain Trey, Captain Extortion, as I call it, down our throats. That means, in my book, at $53.28 a barrel oil, we will be paying roughly $3.89 to $4.16 for a regular unleaded gas. That means, in my pocketbook, at 18,000 miles a year at least, that's just me work alone. That's roughly a heck of a lot of money. I don't have $2,200 a year extra to spend. That means I got to make choices. Do I want to live in this state? Or, because, you know, the cost passed to employers and everything else, and that means my dollars is going to shrink even further. But you know what Kate's going to do? You watch what I tell you. She's going to come and say, oh, Oregonians, I'm going to take care of your relief. I'm going to reattach this back to the federal system, just like Kulongoski did after they went through and took 5 to 7% of our money. After they went through and gouged small businesses. This is the old hook and shuffle BS. Barbara Streisand, Bernie Sanders.
So let me ask you this question, Ron. Do you think that the recall efforts, the fact that they got pretty close, actually did send a message to Kate Brown? Especially, Ron, if you consider that about 18% of the people that were signing were Democrats.
I think it sends a small message, but she's going to blow us off. She has no callous bone in her body. I'll be truthfully honest. She don't give a damn. I'm about as blunt as I can make it, sir. I feel for all the people. My friends, my families, I went and driven up and down to get 5 signatures to make sure we add to the pie, no matter where, anywhere. And it just hurt me, but it does not help, and I'm going to lay it right back out. When you got, you know, whoever's running, we need candidates in every area of this state. This is how we win that back. This is how we go through, and we cooperate and reconnect before February 6th and send a giant message by at least having 25 to 50,000 at that Capitol. That's how we're going to make them shake, rattle, and roll. This is where we go through and you tell Mr. Peter Courtney, you know, you go, you know, you want to cover up for the sexual harassment cases, you know, for the people that's in your party and want to brush it on the carpet. Hey, the name of the bridge should come off the bridge because you're a disgrace.
Oops, sounds like we lost Ron. Okay, well, then we'll let Ron go. Darn it. Because he was making a good case in that all of this means that there was some message that was sent to the Democrats, right? Or is Ron right? It won't make any difference at all. because they're arrogant. They are regressive totalitarian Marxists. And in fact, I love this statement by Governor Brown's political advisor, her paid political advisor, Thomas Wheatley. Recall should only be used when an elected official has committed a crime, but not when someone disagrees with the policies of the governor or another elected official. Really? You mean if we don't like the fact that a governor lied to us? So let me ask you this question, Mr. Wheatley. And maybe this is a question that you all could use in conversations with other people. You know, persuading the persuadable. Is lying a crime? If you're an elected leader, it doesn't matter whether you're under oath or not. If you lie to the people that elected you, is that a crime worthy of impeachment? Or in Oregon, because we're the only state in the union that doesn't have impeachment, recall. Is lying a crime? Now, it is if you are under oath, whether you're in Oregon. Now, by the way, if you are testifying in a committee hearing, there are two statutes in Oregon that specifically govern you as a bureaucrat or a lobbyist. And both statutes say your testimony before that committee has to be truthful. If it is not, you commit a crime. Now, nobody ever gets prosecuted for that because most people don't even know it exists. I didn't know it exists until I was a committee chairman. Nonetheless, is lying a crime? If you are under oath, it is clearly in a court of law or being subpoenaed. It is. Or if you're, well, if you're testifying to Congress, it's a crime. You can be prosecuted for it. So disagreeing with the policies of a governor is one thing. But holding a governor accountable through recall because she lied to you, oh, let's say about being transparent. She's lied to you about a number of other things. So is lying a crime? At the very least, it clearly, well, just people know that lying is wrong. You know it in your family. So is that a, in all seriousness, is that a reason to recall somebody? It's because they lied to you. Now, what's the fallout from all of this? Does it discourage the base? Ron didn't sound discouraged. Did he? I don't think he did. But our others. Sam Carpenter had put out an email last night, and I'll read portions of it when we come back from the break at 6:20 in the morning. What do you think? 503-589-1220. What's the fallout or the benefit of the failed recall with Kate Brown? Back in a moment.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 minutes past the top of the hour. So what is the fallout from the failure of these two recall campaigns? Will there be a change in Oregon Republican Party leadership, or will the same group of people continue to run it? Okay. Now, that's the first thing. Second thing, are there really any benefits that came out of this? Now, what's interesting, by the way, is the Oregonian story about it has won about 1,100 responses in reader comments. That's a lot. But the lefties, and boy, they're out in force celebrating. and blaming, and the people in the middle who wanted Kate Brown gone are blaming the Republican Party. I mean, you would think, seriously, friends, you would think that if you have 700,000 registered Republicans in Oregon, and we do, that you would be able to get 288,000 valid signatures just from Republicans alone. Now, again, I was told that about 18% of the total signatories, now this was a few weeks ago, were Democrats. Democrats, and we talked about this on the show, unhappy with Kate Brown. So, okay. Is there any positives that come out of that with Democrats? Now, does this discourage the Republican base? You know, Bill Currier is saying that they're going to try it again. Okay. But the lefties think that if you dig down, one of them writes, you dig down into the grassroots, you find the truth. Kate Brown has been one of our state's most progressive governors, and her legislature one of the most productive in helping the people of this state. Now, people are leaving California in droves because of the high cost of living brought on by liberal Democrat policies. Same thing's about to happen here in Oregon with all these new wonderful things, new taxes, new fees, higher taxes, new taxes, and all these new regulations that increase the cost of employing somebody, increase your cost of living. Do you think that, do you think that the left, this is kind of the average person out there, wondering why the economy is good, wondering why their income is way up, why it still isn't enough? Do you think they'll be able to connect the dots, or are they just too busy in their lives or distracted by other things to figure out who's doing this to them? It's their elected leaders, and yet they keep voting for these elected leaders. Again, what's, if any, are there benefits to these failed recall efforts? What do you think the fallout is? Sam Carpenter's got his ideas, but let's talk to Art, who's on the line. Hey, Art, happy White Cane Day.
Yeah, happy White Cane Safety Day. Thank you very much for mentioning it, Jeff. I really do appreciate it. You are definitely a wonderful person, Jeff. Always caring and compassionate for your fellow man. First, let me say I have said my prayers to our Lord and Savior and to God and thanked Him for providing us with the opportunity that we just had. And He always has a plan, and I'm not going to question His plan because He's God. But has Oregon woke up? I say yes, but it's only going to stay awake if we continue to practice our First Amendment rights and speak and point out to our fellow Oregonians how detrimental our state government has been to us over the past 30 years. You and I both know that, Jeff. And so we must practice our due diligence, continue to practice our First Amendment rights, and kudos for the Republicans saying we're going to do it again, because there is an old saying, if at first you don't succeed, try again. And we are on the right side, and therefore to continue doing the positive things to educate our fellow Oregonians on what is going on, that's our responsibility, Jeff. You and I both know it. And anybody who is disappointed doesn't have a deep faith in God, because everything happens for a reason, Jeff. And we good, in my opinion, always prevails over evil.
Well, so let me ask you this. I agree with you totally, and I think you're 100% on the right track with your comments. And I appreciate very much your positive attitude. Do you think, though, you know, Sam Carpenter, who lost the Republican primary, obviously, to Newt Bueller, put out an email last night about the failure of this, saying he predicted it, but he says it's going to have a depressive effect on Republicans. Do you think it will?
Now, you know what? Unfortunately, Mr. Carpenter is still feeling the sting of his loss, and therefore is not a continuously optimistic person, and, you know, have a deep faith, and therefore his statements, of course, reflect on all the things that happened in the past. What he should have said is, hey, good try, Republican Party. We almost did it. Let's stand up and keep fighting for what's right. But no, Sam took a moment and unfortunately wrote that email. And that's why he would not have made a good governor for this state. Sorry, Sam. The truth hurts sometimes, but the truth is the truth.
All right. Hey, Art, thanks for calling in, and happy White Cane Safety Day. If you see somebody walking around with a white cane, just remember, folks, give them a little extra grace. It means it's a blind person. That's what Sam Carpenter wrote, folks, in his email. And obviously, Art disagrees with it. And I think, in many ways, Art is right here. Sam should have taken a different direction. But do you think this will make any difference in the change in leadership? You think there'll be a revolt within the Republican Party, or are there benefits to this? And should they try again? Back in a moment at 6:30.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
All right, friends, 24 minutes to the top of the hour. What are the positives that may have come out of the failure of both of the Kate Brown recall efforts? Are there positives to it? And what happens if they try it again and it fails again? What would that say? I mean, I do find it interesting that, yeah, there are 700,000. As Sam Carpenter points out in the email he sent out broadly to his email base, there are 700,000 Republicans in Oregon. And you would think that you could get at least 288,000 of them to sign recall petitions. They didn't. Now, according to Chairman Bill Currier of the Oregon Republican Party, that some weeks ago, the data that he was putting out there was, frankly, that about 30% of the people signing were not Republican. Okay, 18% were Democrats. The rest were unaffiliated. Now, the unaffiliated, there's about 800, almost 900,000 unaffiliated, I think, in Oregon right now. The unaffiliated voters ultimately will catch up to the Democrats registered in this state. You would think Republicans, even at 700,000, would be able to do it. How come? Are we in the Republican Party, are we willing to accept that? Well, do we have Stockholm syndrome? You identify with your captors? Or are we going to stand and fight no matter what? Are you going to be like Ron? Are you going to be like Art? They don't appear to be discouraged by this at all. Okay. What are we going to do? Did we send a message by, you know, getting relatively close. I think Bill Currier said that they were about 8% short. You know, Michael Cross turned in his. He didn't turn in enough pages, and so they didn't even bother to look at them. Okay, fair enough. So what do you think? Are there benefits out of it? I mean, really, were the conversations that were had around this with some people? I mean, at the county fairs and other places where they were signing petitions, were the individual conversations, was it enlightening enough that'll make a difference going forward? Are there positives out of this? Or does it make the Republican Party specifically just look like the gang that can't shoot straight? I mean, you know, think about Oregon Republican Party and so many of the folks that have been there for a long time controlling it. We're not winning anything. In fact, it's getting worse. I mean, at some point, do you think that that the Republican Party in its leadership, or will make a change in its leadership, rather? You know, the people, the precinct people, the people that decide who's going to represent them back in D.C., will just say no. Okay, you guys have had your turn. Things have gotten worse. I mean, it's NFL is in full swing right now, right? Well, a couple of NFL coaches have already gotten fired. When things aren't working, you change your leadership, don't you? So is the fallout from this that we get a change in the leadership of the Republican Party, or is it just going to stay the same? And what happens if they try it again and they fail again? What message does that send? Well, Sam Carpenter, in his message, it just says that makes the Republican Party look like a joke, basically. But are parties, are they the driver of a change in politics? I will tell you that massive rally, and by the way, I was watching Channel 12 this morning when they talked about the failure of the recall campaigns. They showed pictures of and made mention of the massive Timber Unity rally. Now, that was because of Kate's, her failed cap and trade policy that would failed because Republicans walked away for 9 days. And these people, a true grassroots movement, just sprung up completely on their own. And a lot of them are Democrats, folks. And that's why three Democrat senators said, no, we're not supporting this. We're not going to do this. We can't do this. So parties are one thing. But is this something that is the recall effort? Is it something that built upon timber unity that will have lasting impact? Does this continue to steal their resolve? Again, it sounds to me like Ron and Art both believed that it was a fight worth fighting. Yeah, we didn't get there, but there are still positives out of it. And we're going to keep fighting. Now, I can tell you that I have no choice, because like a lot of these loggers from Timber Unity and other people, you know, I'm fifth generation Oregon farmer, folks. I'm tied to the land. I'm not going anywhere. I have to stand and fight. And I have to stand and I have to put up with the far left crazy ideas. Not the ideas that Kate Brown puts out there and that the legislature passes. And that, according to a lot of the readers, if you read the Oregonian article, the over 1,000 comments, a lot of people like. You get what you deserve. It's such a wonderfully progressive state. until you can't afford to live here anymore, until the rural areas of the state are completely decimated by ideas like cap and trade. By the way, Wolfie wrote me a great email from yesterday. If you want to write me an email, I'll do my best to read it on the air. It's jeff@1220.am. jeff@1220.am. Democrat light, he writes. Democrat light. In regards to yesterday's show, my response was, what? I thought Republicans were already Democrat light. If they go any further light, they'll be Democrats. I guess that fits, though, as today's Democrats are now essentially socialists, with some leaning towards being communist. Wolfie. Thanks, Wolfie. I think it's, you're an astute observer of all of this. So, Kate Brown, what do you think she's going to do now? Hmm? I mean, you want to talk about fallout from the failed recall effort. Does this embolden her? Or, if she was smart and her political advisors were smart, through a public records request, they would get at least the signatures that were turned in to the Secretary of State's office by Michael Cross and flushed down Kate Brown. The Republicans didn't submit theirs. Okay. But if I were Kate Brown's, if I were Thomas Wheatley, quoted in the story here, her paid political consultant, I'd want to look at them names, not for retribution. I want to know how many of them really were Democrats and where they were from. Because that is a key to where Kate Brown needs to do a better job. Now, she's a lame duck governor, folks. She can't run again. She's not going to run again. That doesn't mean she won't run for something else, like, as we've speculated before, what do governors do when they leave office? Well, they get hired by some think tank as a reward for implementing leftist policies. And as Ron pointed out, you know, Tom Steyer is giving her lots of money. He's the leftist billionaire. Or she could run for higher office. She'd have to beat, you know, what would that higher office be? U.S. Senate. She would have to beat a fellow Democrat. Oh, goody. Wouldn't that be fun to see? 503-589-1220. What are the positives, if any, of the failed recall campaigns? What are the negatives to them? Are you discouraged? Should the Republican Party try it again? Or should they put their energy into doing something else? And do people even care about parties anymore? Instead of parties, is it really all about the candidate? What does the candidate believe? Is the candidate transparent, trustworthy, honest? Or are you going to be like Kate Brown, where you're talking all about how important it is to enact a cap-and-trade policy, and then she flies on an expensive, very carbon-producing private jet to Sun River from Salem and back again? I mean, sure, she's a very busy governor, but doesn't that seem a little hypocritical? But isn't that typical of socialists, though? Do as I say, but not as I do. Because, you know, there are two systems of governance and justice in America, for the rich and the powerful, but especially Democrats, leftist Democrats. What do you think? 503-589-1220. What's the fallout or the benefits of the failed Kate Brown recall campaigns? Back in a moment.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
10 minutes till the top of the hour, last segment for today. Got an email from my buddy Lee. And I think this puts it in perspective. Listen to this. He writes, the headline of the email is recall. He says, what did Edmund Burke say in a letter? Oh, yeah. Quote, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. Unquote. Yes, another signature gathering should happen. You agree with that? I mean, I'm a big fan of Edmund Burke, and I think that he was an astute human observer of human nature, of what makes people tick. In addition to being a politician, I mean, think about it. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil it's for good men to do nothing. I tell you, the Timber Unity folks stood up, folks. A lot of Democrat women who are pro-abortion stood up for parents' rights against forced vaccinations. I don't think they're going to stop fighting anytime soon. Is it worthwhile? Or should the energy be directed into other areas? Now, that brings me to, Art sent me an email, by the way. He said a lot of people were afraid to sign. I had a listener, we talked about that, who was afraid to sign because they didn't want their name. They didn't want to become a target. Yeah. But I did get an interesting email from one of our state employee individuals who goes nameless here. Lessons from the failed recall dethronement of Queen Kate. Good things. Number one, the Republican leader Bill Currie and others related to the Republican cause were energized. Two, many Oregonians did sign the petitions. Okay, fair enough. Not so good things. I think the failed recall clearly showed the weak ground game of the Republicans, and again, throughout the state and in major population centers. There are many more that would have signed if we'd had a ground game and people were aware of it and given a personal opportunity to sign the petitions. We failed again to communicate in a way that captured the hearts and the emotions of enough people. What will the recall future hold? This person writes. Well, will the Republicans learn lessons from this exercise and develop effective strategies to engage and involve many who care about conservative causes, but are too busy to become involved and less compelled to do so? Will the Republicans use the momentum that they have to get behind in significant ways solid conservative candidates for the 2020 election? Will Republicans be prepared for the regressive totalitarian Marxist backlash against their efforts to dethrone Queen Kate? Now, in the last few minutes of this show, let's focus on a couple of things here that I think are worthy of considering. Where do we go from here? Do you put your energies into another recall, or do you put your energies into making sure that Republicans in the House and Senate in the upcoming February session do everything they can possibly do not to allow any further damage from the regressive totalitarian Marxists, i.e. Governor Kate Brown and everybody saying, well, we're going to go ahead, we're going to introduce and pass cap and tax in the February session? Do you think that Republicans will get any backlash from this? No, I'm serious. What would that backlash be? Would it be scaring Republican senators not to do another, walkout, just not show up? Now, if you think about what would have happened if we'd gotten the signatures. Well, we'd be going, you know, Kate Brown, as soon as they were certified, probably by tomorrow or the next day, Kate Brown would have 5 days to resign as governor. She wouldn't, of course. And then within 30 days, there has to be a vote, statewide vote on Kate Brown. That's the way the Constitution says it has to happen. So we would be engaging in a campaign. Now, I know for a fact, Bill Currier said there is national money that would have come into Oregon, primarily from people who didn't like Kate's position on national popular vote, which I don't either. But we would be talking about not national popular vote. We would be launching a campaign and spending money, educating people to what Kate has done that is worthy of dethroning her. And a lot of that would have been about focusing on Kate's lies, saying she was going to be transparent and then not being. And I'm telling you, all you have to do is run emotional TV commercials about Kate Brown, a family member, hurt by Kate Brown's policies. Like the kids who died out of state or were abused out of state, that they kept quiet. Or the Sergio Martinez, the people, the women who've been raped and sexually assaulted that were protected by Kate Brown's law she passed. Those are all things that would have been in play. That would have helped the Republicans enormously in giving them courage to stand up and do the right thing in the February session. Even if Kate was recalled, believe me, Peter Courtney and Tina Kotek would have still brought forward this cap and trade legislation in February. It would have helped. It would have bucked up Republicans a lot. They're going to need it. Are there positives out of it? Yeah, I think there probably are. I think that there are opportunities here for Republicans to do exactly what this email writer has suggested. Develop effective strategies to engage and involve people who care about conservative causes but are too busy. He's right about that. There's a lot of conservatives who believe, and they're not all Republicans, by the way. No, a lot of them are independents. A lot of them are Democrats. Yeah, there are some. They haven't gotten involved until now. This is the opportunity. And I'm convinced that is partly the reason why the Republican Party, anyway, launched into this effort. It was to build on that momentum from Timber Unity, from Oregonians for Medical Freedom. These are the moms against vaccinations. It really has woke a lot of people up. We can build on this. I think that Lee's point about doing another recall petition, I don't agree with that. And I'll tell you why. I do agree that good men should not stand aside and do nothing. They should do other things. Like have a ground game and actually get people elected. That sends a message, doesn't it? All right, friends. It's just before the top of the hour. Thanks for listening today. Start your car. Get moving. I'll be back tomorrow. And I hope you are too. Be blessed. See you then.